The title of my message is Paying Attention. I remember we used to be, I think the whole church know I always mention it, that I was an extremely naughty little man, person, boy. And I used to tell my school teacher, because we normally would forget our books at home or something that we were supposed to bring, then we would fall back and tell our teacher that we were so poor, we couldn't even pay attention. That's how poor we were, Auntie Janet. Because you would always forget something. But this morning, that's not the crux of the message. It's not about richness or poorness. It's about making time. Now I want to do church differently today. Paying attention is something that we get taught from an early age. Our parents teach us at home what it is to pay attention. We go to school. They get us into a system of how to pay attention. And as you go through life, school, high school, university, it's all about attention. You go to work, what is the thing that they teach you there? Work safe gets crazy when people do not pay attention. Because if you don't pay attention, there's consequences, isn't there? There's major, major consequences. I read a story of this lady not so long ago, I think it was 1984, who had this, she was unemployed, and we had this in the summer. She had this house on the beach, and she saw this bees go in and out of this little vent of her house. And she thought, oh, it's just two bees, you know. But she didn't pay attention to this thing. And not very long, her whole ceiling collapsed. And I'm just cutting the whole story short. She thought it was just two bees going in. Because every time she looked up, she would only see two bees. But is there numbers on them? Bees doesn't have numbers. So you think it's the same two bees. It's their cousins. They walk in dozens or millions. And what they do, bees do. When I came in this morning, I came straight to the roses. And the bees love these type of things. Because what do they get from it? They go and they put in that little vents there. They make honey. And what do you think the weight of honey should be? The weight of the honey brought the ceiling down in a home. Now she was unemployed. She wasn't able to get there. She wasn't able to repair it even. But the problem is she was not paying attention to just the two bees. And so I can go right through scripture about paying attention. But this morning I just want to stop there. I want us to just look in your little pamphlets there. All of us have got a little pamphlet like this in that pamphlet. Who doesn't have one? There's still a few in the foyer. Brother Bruce, will you just get a few? I need us to just do something. Now, friends, what is one of the most difficult things for us to do as a Christian? Some of us, not all of us. What is the most difficult things to do? Just put up your hands again, those that don't have. Bruce, just hand out some there, please. Just keep your hands up until you get them. Is there more? Anli? Is there more? Emma, could you just put on Psalm 23 there for me, please? Here's one. Right. Who else needs one? All right, I think everybody's got. Now, guys, one of the most difficult things for believers to do is to pray. Amen? I went to the doctor not so long ago, and I said to him, hey, I'm struggling to sleep. He says, why don't you just pray? You fall asleep quickly. He said that's what he does. He says if he struggles to sleep, he just starts praying, he falls asleep. Is that what we do? Now, we don't have to be spiritual about it. That if that is what happens, it happens, right? But I just want to go back to to praying again. Of the other difficult things for us to do is to pay attention to what we pray, how we pray, when we pray. And we find that as we're sitting down or kneeling down to pray and, or to just have our devotion, what happens to us? Come on, just talk to me. What happens to you as you're sitting down to just have your devotion and you just want to pray and just love God? All the voices start speaking at the same time. Man, who gives them the key into my mind? All the voices start speaking at the same time. You start thinking about the children's school fees and the dresses and the house and the, you name it. All those type of things floods you. Am I the only one there? So paying attention is one of the things that we as Christians struggle with. We come to church. Paying attention for this hour, hour and a half maybe, is difficult for many. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. It's difficult for many. You're sitting here and you're thinking, man, if you could just cut the service short by 10 minutes, I can make it to my next appointment. I'm thinking of lunch already. I'm thinking of, did I finish that job? All these things are going through our mind even while we're sitting right here. Now this morning, I just want to stop there and say, I just want us to turn to Psalm 23. Now, one of the dangers of paying attention is the familiarity. Things is so familiar that we take it for granted. It's so familiar. Did you know that 99% of people that make accidents, cause an accident or have an accident, is so close to their home? Because it's so familiar. So we're driving all night or all day, whatever, and as we get close to about 2-3 kilometers to home, everything is familiar, and there we go. Just turn to Psalm 23 there. Now, there's many of us here that can quote Psalm 23 verbatim. Amen? Now, friends, I want us to do something different this morning. I want you to turn that page around. There's a pen in front of you. There's a Bible in front of you. I want you to turn that page around. And we all know Psalm 23. Brother Peter read it so well this morning. I want you to turn it around, put it on your Bible there, and I want you to pay attention to those 6 verses this morning. To just pay attention to that 6 verses. And I want you just to be quiet for a while. And I'm going to be quiet as well. You can say amen. I'm going to be quiet as well. I just want you to pay attention to that 6 verses. And I want you to underline or circle, or do something to those verses that jumps out at you. But I need you to pay attention to them. Is that fine? Can we do that? Are we good with that? If somebody's struggling, please let me know. I just want you to look at the verses. They're still on the board there. And to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. I want you to just turn the page around. Allow that verses to speak to you. you're done, you can just raise your hand so I can see that you're done. You're done, you just read over it and over it again. Just read over it and over it again. Done, you can just raise your hand so I can see. Thank you. But now most of us should be done. If you're not, don't worry about it. You just continue in that. Friends, how difficult was that right now to sit in church and just pay attention to Scripture? Just to that one verse. Six verses, sorry. Paying attention, especially to the Word of God, is so important. The Bible says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Even when we read, everything we do it in a hurry. We rush through, we skim through, and we don't pay proper attention. God is asking us as a church to start paying attention. If we do not pay attention, we start drifting. The Bible says there, the Lord is my shepherd. Now friends, what happens to sheep if they do not just, sheep keeps their heads down and they go after the grass, right? Do they still eat grass or have it changed? Has it changed to caviar or something? But anyhow, the sheep goes there and if they don't heed to the voice of the shepherd, they continue drifting. This year, we're trusting God to go after that one who has drifted. Now, if I was back in Africa and I'm speaking about drifting, a whole lot of young people would get excited because drifting there means something else. Yeah. Oh, you know about it? Yeah, yeah. Drifting means car races where we go around the corners like that on just the back wheels. And that's drifting, but we're speaking about drifting away from God. Friends, did you know that you can sit in church and drift away from God? We can get so involved with the things of God that we forget about God. And we drift. Because, you know, this church work is so much. It keeps me busy so much that, and before you find yourself, the church work has taken over and God has been left behind. Back in South Africa, I used to speak to the first years at Bible school and also to the fourth years in the last year of Bible school. And I used to speak to young guys, young men and women that came into ministry. And I used to remind them, please do not drift from your partners. Because when you start a college and you start learning things about God and about the things of God, you get so excited and you get filled so quickly because the lecturers want to put in as much information into you. And what happens to you? You get all excited and see what's happening to me here. Before I found myself, I was so far from my wife because I was so involved with the things of this that I forgot to take her with me. We drift from each other. We drift from each other just so quickly. What is God calling us to do? To come back. To come back. How many things did you pick up there in that six verses? How many things did you pick up? How many things have you underlined there? You can actually underline every word there, right? How many things did you underline? Did you underline? Eight. Eight phrases? Yes, yes, yes. What did it say? Anybody want to share with us? What did your phrases say to you? Dale? How many did you have? Yeah.
It's actually
still waters.
Still waters. Something that calms
people. Praise God. And that is what you're feeling. Remember, folk, we read the Bible from where we are at. So, Dave, thank you for that, my brother. Thank you for that picture there. Anybody else? Uncle Fred, what did you get?
I got one suggestion.
Yes.
And that was if I follow the first verse.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Uncle Fred. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall need nothing. I've got the message there. Listen to what the message says. And I deliberately chose that scripture. I mean, that Bible, I think it's the New International Version. It says here, God, my shepherd, I don't need anything. I was excited about that. Because that's so us today. Who else? Who else? Anybody? Yes, Ross. Wow. But just that couple of minutes of paying attention. How many times have you read this scripture? How many times, from the time that you were a little baby till every funeral, whatever, how many times have you heard this? And today, you paid attention. God wants you to be dependent on Him. He wants to bless you. Uncle Fred was right. You won't lack anything if you surrender to the King of Kings. Church, we don't have to go stand in long queues to get baked beans. He supplies our every need. He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 40, what is it again? I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to prosper you. So baked beans is part of your prosperity. I will supply your every need according to my riches in glory. Anybody else before I go on? I just want, please guys, you need to share because somebody needs to hear what you have to say. Say it.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul. Remember, we read scripture from where we are at. Susie, God is taking you like this, my sister. And He's enfolding you, He's compassing you, He's putting cotton wool around you, and He's whispering in your ear, I love you. From where we are at. Cynthia, what did you pick up, my sister? Hallelujah. Wow. In that whole sentence, I picked up that God will not allow you to go astray. He is your GPS even in the nighttime. Hallelujah. Anybody else under Janet? Oh, Suzanne. Yes, yes, yes. You've been nominated. You've been volunteered. Remember, folk, we read scripture from where we are at. Just say it again, the three words is?
Through
shadow and comfort. Hallelujah. Right now, my sister, he's not just taken your hand, but he's taken you and he's doing this with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've given so much of your life. And you know what I'm talking about. And right now, God is saying to you, I'm restoring to you that peace. I'm restoring to you that love. I'm giving back to you. Receive it. Just receive it. In Jesus' name. Uncle Fred.
My brother-in-law is dying of cancer of the brain.
Mm.
So we visited him after his first operation, which was a scanning. And the amazing thing which I found was that he was totally at peace.
Amen. Amen.
So when the Lord is our shepherd, nothing shall cause us to fear.
Amen. Remember, folk, even in the presence of our enemies, God will have us have a party. He closes down the road, man. He puts on big sound speakers and he says, "You celebrate my love for you." In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. You prepare a table before me. My cup overflows. Hallelujah. Bruce.
In the first sentence, there's two parts. The Lord is my shepherd, as I allow him to lead.
Wow. Remember, God is a gentleman. He says in his word, I stand in the door and knock. And if anybody opens the door, I will come in and I will have a relationship with you. Only if you respond to my knocking, allowing him to come in. He will supply you. He will bless you. He will love you. He will care for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bruce. Anybody else? My wife.
Psalm 23 in school every morning in assembly. And I just went back to the Afrikaans translation, if you wouldn't mind, and it says, in verse 6 it says, Net God en begin saam met volk, al die dae van met Here. En ek sal die huis van die Here bly tot in die einde.
Only goodness and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. Only God's goodness and His grace. And when you look back on where you are right now, that's only God's goodness and His grace. So friends, I'm going to close here right now. I want you, the next time you read scripture, to pay attention. Pay attention to what God is saying to you. Listen to what God is. We come and we've got the tendency to plan our lives, and we come and we say, and God said so. And it's not that. We just put that on there so that it sounds spiritual. Paying attention, you hear exactly what God is saying to you. Paying attention to the two B's that's going in there. We will not get that opportunity to drift from God, my friends. Because once we drift from God, it is difficult, not really for God, but for us to come back. But God takes his hook, his shepherd's staff, and he does that. Have you seen it done? Have you seen it done? He takes it and he hooks your legs and he brings you back to where he should be. God loves us so much. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. You've got to allow him to do that today. May the Lord bless us as we go out from here and look at Scripture, engage with Scripture, pay attention to what God is saying to us. Friends, I can't say it more over, I can't say it enough. God does not just speak to Sean. I do not have the answers to everybody's problems. I do not have the solution, but I have Jesus. I can only tell you, look at the manual. Have you phoned a place already and they said, have you got the manual in front of you? Yes, I do. Look at page 23. Right there, verse 6 says there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Do you understand what it means? It means, man, that's what it means. And I shall dwell. Okay, where have I drifted to? How far am I from the house of God? I'm in the house of God, but am I in it? I'm in the house of God, but am I really in it? You know, you can be part of a conversation and be absent. Oh, yeah. I've got a friend. I'm not going to mention names. Some people know my friend. She's part of the conversation and she walks out of the conversation. Just like that. And I say, hello, I'm here. All right. She's back again. We're having the conversation, speaking about the matter, and there she goes. Bring her back. God wants to bring us back. That's all that I want to say this morning. This is my story. Father, we bless you this morning. We worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us just the way that we are. Thank you, my God and my King. We give you the praise and the glory for your word today. Thank you for using each of us to contribute to this morning, Lord. I'm sure there's many that still wants to contribute, and they can, to each other. Bless us now, Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends, before Rebecca plays, our worship team can join us up there. I just need to make an announcement that a couple of months ago, as you all know that I haven't been well. A couple of months ago, I stopped being active, totally active. And then I started coming back since November, as you all remember. So right now, I'm running on full. I'm back in my position. Nothing is holding me back from doing ministry to the full. So I believe we needed to announce that. We needed to announce that, but the reason why I'm sharing that with you this morning is thank you for each of your guys' prayers. We would not have been able to be where we are right now if it wasn't for each of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just needed the church to know that. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand together. This is one of my all-time favorites. It's the only time that I sang as part of a choir ever in my life. The next time I wanted to join the choir, they asked me not to come. They paid me not to come. But this song takes me back to many, many years. I got saved in 82. 83, I was part of a choir. But they didn't know.